Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, March 31st, 2016. With me today, again, I have Kelly Gaumont. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. And John Martellaro, I hope you're doing well also.
I'm doing very well on this April Zero Day. Wait, is there such a thing?
Well, it depends on how you write your calendar. So, John, sure, if you want to have an April Zero Day, you are welcome to have an April Zero Day. Who am I to judge?
It sounds so mathematically perfect.
Well, then by all means, I'm glad to have you here on this special April Zero Day episode of Daily Observations.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah. Hey, we have a sponsor today. And that sponsor is Bushel, the mobile device management people that we've been waxing poetic about. And we'll continue to do so because they're awesome. But before we get to waxing poetic about that, John, you wrote an interesting piece yesterday. And I want to take a look at that. And this was your perspective on Apple and original TV content. And we need to take a look at this.
Well, all sorts of things came crashing down on me yesterday in my Safari browser and Firefox browsers. And one of them was the article about Ben Silverman and William producing an unscripted series for Apple. This was at the Hollywood Reporter. And, of course, we know that there was a previous project that Apple's also working on. And then I read an article about Netflix portfolio being down. And that interested me. So I went and looked. And what's happening is that Netflix is spending less money on purchasing content and diverting that money into original content of its own. Shows that we're very familiar with and love. So I started thinking. And then I remembered that we had written about HBO Now and the Showtime channels on Apple TV. And all of this stuff just started swimming around in my head. And I had written an article a while back called Three Reasons Why Apple's TV Subscription Service Failed. This was around Christmas time when we became aware of the fact that Apple just wasn't getting any traction talking to the content providers. You know, there was this plan Apple had to provide a subscription service for, $35 or $40 a month. The trouble is that Apple was trying to keep the price down, trying to undercut the content providers' partners, the carriers, and it would be a net loss in revenue, and Apple just couldn't get anywhere with it. And I thought it was kind of a funny thing for Apple to be doing. When we had all these grand visions of Apple TV displays and all the cool technologies that Apple could bring to bear and making the viewing experience better, and then that didn't happen, and then Apple said, well, we'll just go back to square one and we'll be a subscription provider and we'll provide you other people's content. And, of course, the content providers wanted more money and customer connection than Apple wanted to provide, and that didn't work. And so now we're on this bandwagon of Apple starting to get smart about, hey, you've got the connection channel, you've got iPhones and iPads and Apple TVs out there, you've already got the conduit to the customer. Why not do your own content? And so now we're seeing glimmers of Apple generating its own content. And I think that's a reasonable way to go for Apple. I finished up the article with the question, though, and that is every one of these niche channels, the customers who get fanatic about specialized programs that we were talking about, Dead Like Me the other day, and things like Jessica Jones in the Modern Era, and Longmire, one of my favorites on Netflix. Mm-hmm. So people gather around, the flames are fueled by social media, they're tapped into these channels of specialized content, they binge view and they love these specialized shows, but some of them could never make it on network TV. So the old era seems to be passing away and the new era of creating your own content is upon us. The question is, can Apple come up with its own voice? Can it resonate with customers and create compelling content of its own that captures its own niche audience? And so that's the next story in the sequence.
Well, I'm thinking that Apple, with the collection of shows that we've heard about so far, is trying to create their own voice, but I think they're doing it in the way that they create products, where they start with something and then build from there. Mm-hmm. So they don't jump in with with blockbuster movie feature length films, but they do what they're doing right now, which looks like short format. I don't want to call them reality shows, but reality-based content, more like behind-the-scenes things, mini-documentary.
Vital Signs.
Yeah. And although Dr. Dre, Vital Signs, that's going to be fiction, but it's fiction that is inspired by events from Dr. Dre's life. So... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that will be the fictiony thing, and the rest are more reality based, like behind the scenes with app developers and anyhow. So I think Apple is doing what they have always done, which is start small, see how things work out, and then iterate and come up with bigger and better. And at some point, assuming this pays off well for Apple, I could see a day when we're doing with Apple the same thing we do today with Amazon Prime and Netflix, where we look for original, high-quality shows.
You know, there was some glimmers when the Top Gear team had left BBC and they were looking for someone who wanted to take them on. And I heard that there was a bidding war between Netflix and Amazon to get this Top Gear team. And I thought I remember that Apple was vaguely interested in this, too.
Would have been there was a great talk about that. Ground.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Would have been a great launch pad for Apple's efforts, but maybe Apple decided they wanted to start smaller.
Yeah, for something like this, it's probably wise for Apple to start smaller because, again, this is a market that... Why did I say again? I haven't said this yet. This is a market that Apple has not been in yet. And typically when they jump into a new market, they jump in a significant way, but not in a massive way. And then they build up. You know, like look at the first iPod. That was mm-hmm. significant, but it wasn't an iPod Touch or an iPhone. And if you look at what the iPhone is today compared to what it was 7 years ago, I mean, there's a significant change in what they're offering.
I want to tell you about feedback from a reader. He said something along the lines that I'm sure the listeners are thinking, some of them are thinking along these lines too. And he said something along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing, I would just as soon Apple not get into this content business, but make their hardware and their software better. And I can understand how some people might feel like Apple's branching out, watering themselves down, getting distracted, trying to do too many things. But, you know, when Apple was a $6 billion company, when I worked for them, they were very focused on the technology of Mac OS X, now called OS X, and this Unix operating system and embracing scientists, and they weren't getting anywhere. I mean, they were still a niche product, and they were losing against Microsoft big time in the enterprise. So now Apple's a, what, $200 billion annual revenue or so, something like that. Mm-hmm. They're a very different company. They've grown up. They're very large. Apple can do things besides focus just on our Macintoshes or just on our iPads. Apple's a rich, capable, mature company now, and they can do lots of things like this. And so for them to get into content is nothing different than for them getting into streaming music.
All right, I just had a little technical problem. Are you guys still there?
I'm still here.
I think
here.
So.
Yeah. That was kind of weird. So John
wrapped up and there was dramatic pause and I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, John, it was right as you wrapped up and I was ready to say whatever I was going to say, which is now gone from my head. I realized that everything just suddenly stopped.
The blessings of Skype.
Yes, but you finished your statement and we still have a show going. So, hey, good for us.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. And, cool. And for once, the listeners get to experience a little bit of the craziness that relying on Skype for shows is, because we just had that kind of weirdness right in the middle. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Bushel, the mobile device management company. And if you are not familiar with who they are, well, you're about to be. They make this really awesome web-based tool that lets you keep track of all of your iPhones and iPads and iPod touches and your Macs all in one place. And then you can keep track of your serial numbers, what versions of operating systems are running on all the devices. You can set restrictions like you must use passwords that are six digits or complex or whatever you need to do just to make sure your devices are safe. You can keep track of all the different types of settings that your devices need to have, including all of the email accounts that should be on each device. And then you can take all of this and just push it right out to everyone's device, and you're set. It was just pretty much as simple as that. And I found it great because I can keep track of all of the devices that I have, which is like a stack of iPads and an iPhone and a couple Macs. And then I've added in my parents' iPhones so that I can make sure their settings are always correct. And I can double check and see if they've updated to the current version of iOS when they need to. And if a device gets lost or stolen, I can remotely wipe it. And it's really great. It's been great for me using on a personal level, but it's also great if you're part of like a small business that needs to manage a bunch of devices and you just don't have the money, the training, or the infrastructure to get into Apple's mobile device management platform, which is going to cost you a lot and can be pretty intimidating to get into.
Time and money. Yeah. Because you have to learn it, and it's not an easy to pick up thing like iOS is.
Yeah. So you can get into Bushel and just have three devices up and running through it for free. And then if you need to add more devices, those devices cost you $2 a month per device. So it's not expensive at all. And easy to use, not intimidating. It's easy for people to get their devices enrolled in your little Bushel mobile device management plan. And it's easy for everyone, not intimidating, and a really great way to keep all your devices under control. And for me, it's been a really great way to maintain my family harmony because I can fix things on my parents' iPhones that they're breaking without realizing what they're doing, and I don't even need to be around where they are at the time, which is not to say I don't like being around my parents. I do, but I can't always be there when something goes wrong. But with Bushel, I can fix a lot of those problems from wherever I happen to be at any given time. So what you need
because
to do...
Because when it's your parents' phone, it's always an emergency.
That's right. Yeah, if mom isn't happy, no one's happy. That's just a rule of the universe. Okay, so what you need to do is head over to the Bushel website, and that's bushel.com/TDO, BUSHEL.com/TDO, and sign up for your account. You can enroll three devices into your own personal management program for free, and then any others you need to add in, only $2 a piece. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing, and I'm so glad that I'm using Bushel because it's making my life easier. And I'd love for you guys to use Bushel, too, because it's going to make your lives easier. So thank you, Bushel, for being our sponsor. That URL, again, is bushel.com/TDO. All right. The other thing
Jeff,
that
I have a number. Jeff, I have a number for you.
Okay.
Apple's sales and revenue in fiscal 2015 was $231 billion. Okay, I'm done.
That's a lot of money. Yeah. Okay, and now we're going to hop into the next topic. And this...
Is it four candles?
Yes. No. No. Sorry, Kelly. No, this actually fits in well with John's piece from yesterday where he's talking about Apple getting into their own original content because that's going to be playable through Apple TV when it comes. the next topic is about Apple TV specifically and gaming. So it turns out that that Disney, who was one of the companies that was highlighted when the fourth generation Apple TV was announced.
With apps and games that you could install and play upon it.
Mm-hmm. And one of those games that was shown off was Disney Infinity. And
which, for people who don't know, is the one where you buy the figures and there's a special $100 set that you buy of like little figurines that have little bases, and you use those to play in the game. Those are, you've unlocked them by buying them in the store, and you can use those characters to play. And it's sort of an explorey, questy kind of game, Disney Infinity.
Mm-hmm. And so you can do things like, well, you can mix characters from different stories. So you could have, say, Obi-Wan Kenobi and Stitch on a quest mm-hmm. together. Or,
yes.
Yeah, or Mr. Incredible and Cinderella.
But not all of them.
Right, but not all of them. And so here's the deal. We're about 6 months into Apple TV, and Disney has now dropped support for Disney Infinity on Apple TV.
Which is all of 4 months old, because it wasn't, I don't believe it was a zero-day release. They said it was coming, so it's been like 4 months, because there's a lot of people who are talking about, like, I just bought my Apple TV. Like, it still has the new Apple TV smell. I've only had it for 4 months, and now here we are.
Right. So if you bought Disney Infinity, it still works, but any characters that weren't coded into the Apple TV version of the game, you're not going
like
to be able to use
like the new ones from Zootopia, for example.
Right. Yeah. So if you, yeah, so you buy a Zootopia character, it's not going to work on your Apple TV. And that's not going to change because Disney has dropped support. That means they aren't adding new characters to the game. So whatever is available for the game today, that's it. You can't add anything else.
Right.
So that's kind of sucky for people that have already dropped over $100 to get into Disney Infinity on Apple TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's the thing is about this that I find sort of interesting is that specifically the reason this came about as news is because somebody mentioned, I have these characters and they don't work with my Apple TV. And a moderator came into the forum where the person was complaining about this and said, and here's the exact quote. The team is currently focusing on the traditional gaming platforms. We are always evaluating and making changes, but there are currently no plans for further updates to the Apple TV version of the game. What that tells me is that if I'm playing it on a PC, that may be in danger because that's not a traditional gaming platform. Like, it's not a console. So I'm trying mm-hmm. to figure out exactly what traditional gaming platforms means, because Apple TV may not be the only one that gets the axe. And the reason that's interesting is because after this happened and people started paying attention to it, all of a sudden, a footer showed up at the bottom of the Disney Infinity website that says, and I'm reading this exactly, so when you think I didn't make any sense, I didn't, but here's what it says. Not all content available for 4 PC, Steam, iPhone, iPad, Windows, Amazon, Google Play, and Apple TV.
Wow. So, so their kind of bungled statement on the page. What that tells me is that Disney Infinity is an Xbox One and PlayStation 4 game. Is there a version for Wii?
Not that I see here.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Lego Dimensions, which is a similar type of game.
Yeah.
Setup. That's what's available.
Now, they do have a Wii U logo on the page, so it's possible you can buy it for the Wii. I'm not sure. They may decide that's not a traditional gaming platform. I don't know. So I was really, really, really tempted by this game. I'm a huge Disney nerd. I love my Nintendo. I was really excited to get to play something questy on the Apple TV. We also have an Xbox, and I find that most of the Xbox games for me are boring because it's all running and shooting, and that's not necessarily what I want to do. So for me, I was super excited about this sort of like infinite questy kind of world building exploration-y kind of game, something much more along the lines of Minecraft or Mario mm-hmm. than Call of Duty. And I held off on it because I kind of wanted to see, like, I wanted to wait until the price came down a little bit. Maybe I could get used figures from somebody who, you know, play, like, conquered the whole thing, whatever that means, and then, you know, wanted to get rid of their stuff. So I sort of waited on it, and now I'm glad I did, because I was super excited to get to play it on the Apple TV, and now I'm a lot less excited, because it's not going to change, and from what I understand, the people who were playing it on the Apple TV, like, some of them are mad about it because when you buy figures, there's nothing on the figures that lists compatibility on the package. So once you tear it open, that's the only time that you can find out, is you plug it in and you see what happens. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. So that's a super frustrating experience, because you can't tell in the store once you spend the money on these things, and they're not cheap. And the other thing,
$15 a piece for a figurine.
For one. Yeah. And you can get sets, and the sets, like, a set means you get three figures at the same time, but it's like $45 instead of, you know, you don't get a deal usually on others. So I kind of wanted to, I'm glad I didn't. And so some people are upset because nothing was made clear that, you know, the most recent update to the game on Apple TV was the last one. And other people are not upset because they're like, you know, it always kind of sucked on the Apple TV anyway, so I'm really, I want to be sad, but I'm not very sad because it wasn't a very good experience, and so I'll just play it on my other thing, whatever, the, you know, whether it's a PlayStation or a Wii or an X-Bone or whatever.
Got a question for you.
Yeah.
So in addition to the experience not being so great, do you think it was perhaps economics? People were buying Apple TVs as a cord-cutting tool, and they were not in an expansive frame of mind, and so $100 for this game didn't seem to fit in with their cord-cutting mentality. Just a thought.
It's possible. It's also, well, and here's the thing, is that I don't know how the usage compares on the Apple TV to, say, a PS4 or a regular PC, you know, using Steam to keep it updated or whatever. Like, I don't know what kind of user, what the user base looks like for this game. But, you know, like, I got a fourth gen Apple TV because I wanted to be able to put apps on it to see what other kinds of stuff Apple TV could do. Mm-hmm. So that, for me, was the exciting piece. It wasn't necessarily any of the other stuff.
Well, if the experience wasn't so great on the Apple TV, does that mean the A8 processor in there wasn't up to snuff for the kinds of gaming things people wanted to do?
I think it means that, you know how Apple users got treated, like, before years started with 2, and it was like, we made an Apple version, you know, we made a version for OS 8, but it sucks, and you can tell it was designed by somebody who really wrote a Windows program and just mm-hmm. decided they needed to check a box. Oh, I kind of feel like that's the approach that was taken with Disney Infinity. It was like, they made this deal with Apple. We know they're basically more than friends as relationships go. Like, there's more there than just, you know, a couple of companies trying to help each other out. Like, there's mm-hmm. there's a deeper relationship there. So I think they were checking a box, and I don't think that the people for whom this was meant, you know, some of them are really sad it's gone, and some of them kind of aren't, because they're like, you know, it blew, and I, you know, I'm kind of not sad that it's gone now, because it wasn't a good experience in the first place. And so, yeah,
it doesn't say anything about the technical hardware capabilities of the A8. It's just that the Disney people weren't, as you said, didn't have their whole heart in exploiting the hardware.
Because I'm not seeing other stuff, and I'm not a huge game person. So if you are a huge game person and you have more perspective on this, please let us know. Jeff will tell you how to get a hold of us at the end of the show.
Of course I will.
But the thing that I have not noticed is people writing about how all anybody wanted to do on their Apple TV was play games, and now we have an Apple TV that plays games and it sucks. Like, I'm not seeing that anywhere. So I don't think that's the problem. Like, the racing games look really cool, and you know, some of the action stuff looks like it's a lot of fun. And I just don't play a lot of games on my Apple TV. So I'm not seeing, like, that general sort of outcry of, like, you know, you finally gave me what I wanted. I thought you gave me what I wanted, but you didn't really give me what I wanted because I have a gaming experience, but it's a bad one. So I'm not seeing stuff like that coming out from people. I'm seeing people who are like, yeah, this, you know, for a lot of people, it's the thing I used to like playing on my iPhone looks really great on my Apple TV now, and I really like playing it on my Apple TV, and that's basically it. So okay. I'm not seeing a whole lot of outcry, you know, from game people, because if you're really that serious about games, you weren't waiting for the fourth gen Apple TV. You already pulled the trigger on something from Microsoft or something sure. from Sony. Mm-hmm. You know, if you really want to play those games, that's where you're playing them.
Yep.
So
hey, we're out of time. We have to wrap up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Well, Kelly, thank you for being here.
Of course.
And John, thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Yep. It's great to have both of you here. Bushel, thank you for being our sponsor. Head over to their website, bushel.com/TDO, and get yourself an account so you can manage 3 devices for free, only $2 per device after that. Totally worth it. It's eliminated so many headaches for me. And listeners, yes, Kelly said I was going to tell you how to get a hold of me. Totally going to do that. Okay, on Twitter, that would be at TMO Daily. Via email, that would be observations@macobserver.com. And then, of course, you can leave comments in the show notes, and we check all those places. And, yeah, it's been great having everyone here today. And, wow, we even survived the crazy technical difficulties that popped up during the show. You guys are troopers for sticking through it all. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.